Go to Hebrews chapter 2, please. We will start at verse 10. In my opinion, the best and most efficient and qualified people who can minister to the one who is going through a tough time, such as they are going through because they have a serious terminal illness or the financial job loss or the failure of marriage or somebody, the betrayal of marriage, and loss of loved one, struggle of the addictions, so on. People who've been there, done that, and overcome those problems by the power of Jesus Christ, they are the most qualified, they are most efficient people because they know what it's like. Their testimonies and wisdom are from the gut level here and from heart, not from the up here in brain level with the 10-page thin borrowed knowledge. See, people with the book knowledge just cannot follow what, understand what the people are going through. Like no other religion in the world, only the God of Christianity provides, not only the comfort to those who are negative in sin and temptations that lead them to the suffering and eternal death, but also provides the way of salvation to heaven. Because this God has been there and done that. And you may wonder, what are you talking about? Just listen, we'll talk more. One can wonder, how can God go through the man's suffering? Didn't the Bible say that God is a spirit? Yes, you are right. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit cannot. But God the Son could, and He did. That's divine suffering for us. This morning, the Word of God is going to explain to us how the Messiah became one of us to underwrite our salvation without being subject to the power of death and give us the privilege of becoming the family of God. Let's stop and pray. Father, it's difficult to fathom how God Almighty, who holds the entire universe in His hand, become a man, finite man, mortal man, controlled by the circumstance, controlled by the nature. Yet, He overcame the death. He overcame the power of the devil. And He is extending that privilege toward us, so that we may be in Your glory in heaven. Father, we are asking You to open our heart to receive Your word. Father, we are asking You to give us a wisdom to understand and anointing in our heart, especially the one who speaks. And forgive us our sins. Father, we pray for President Obama, for his salvation, that he may come to know Christ as his Savior and Lord. Not doing his own thing, but doing what you want him to do. And we also pray for the armed forces personnel, especially the one in the harm's way. And we pray for law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Father, we ask you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10 of chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews, please. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captains of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who are sanctified and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. The Greek word for captain is archegos, and its definition is one that takes the lead in the anything that does afford an example. That is the key point as a leader. The leader, a good leader, is the one who leads you by example, not telling you to go there. That's a coach. That's a armchair commanders. In my opinion, the better translation would, instead of the captain, you should be leader. Like a leader of the team in the middle of a thick jungle, using machete to hacking overgrown branches and leaves, making a path so that he can lead the entire team to the path of safety. And Jesus joined us right in the middle of our overgrown human suffering of sins. He is our leader who shows us the way of salvation. But there are words, somewhat oxymoron. Perfect through suffering. Perfect through suffering. How can it sound, and you know, it actually sounds like a heresy, because how can a perfect God be more perfect? If there is any possible way to be more perfect, the first idea of perfect is not right. We are not talking about deity of Jesus Christ. Rather, his humanity. His humanity became perfect through the same suffering we encounter as we walk through the life's jungle. He didn't do it from heaven, rather he did from earth where we all are. Keep your finger in Hebrews, go to Philippians, turn to the left, Philippians 3:10 please. I may know him, Apostle Paul speaking, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of what? His suffering, being conformed to his death. Back to the Hebrews, please. Now, go back to the chapter 2, verse 11, please. And we will read. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Let me put it this way. We are in the process of sanctified. We are sanctified by Jesus Christ. Then that's what we call in fancy word is justification. Set apart, and we are cleansed, and we are declared not guilty. And then we are being sanctified as we are living this Christian life, and we sin, and we ask God to forgive us our sins, and we are being sanctified. We are forgiven each time. And there is once we go to heaven, we are glorified, but that's complete portion. Now, so he, Jesus, who sanctifies us and joins us, who are in the process of being holy by the power of the Holy Spirit as one. Now, he identifies us as his brothers and sisters. Get this, ladies and gentlemen. It is not remarkable that we want to be identified with Jesus Christ, because he's altogether lovable, he's altogether wonderful, he's altogether great God. So who doesn't want to be with him? But it's remarkable that he wants to be with us. And we like to ask him, do you know where we have been? Do you know our past? And he will say, oh yeah, I know everything. But I still love you. That's a true love. That's a beyond cool. To show us further proof, the author of this book quoted the three verses from the Old Testament, Psalm 22:22 and Isaiah 8:17 and 18. Each of these verse example of the Messiah is willing to associate with himself with his brethren. That's us. Whether it's in the congregation of worship, a community of trust in the Father, and the family of God. And the family of God is not made by the sponge of the so-called saint. I know you're thinking about the saint with some big cathedral with a statue, marble statue. You guys are saints. Look at each other. You're saying. Say you're saying. Come on, say it aloud. Not because you guys are good, because you are worship. If you are born again Christian, you are sanctified because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with me. Nothing for us to declare. Other than we are forgiven by the grace of God. Go back to the chapter 2, please. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 16. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Stop there. There are people who insist that Jesus was not an actual human being. He was a spirit. He just had the shape of man. Hello, here's newsflash. If you notice, the death of and the resurrection of Jesus Christ explains the humanity of Jesus and deity of Jesus Christ completely. See, listen, no spirit being can die. Angels cannot die. That's why angel could not be our atoning sacrifice. That shows that Jesus was 100% human because he died. And you may say, well, maybe he just died, pretend. There is a called Swoon theory. Have you ever heard that? Swoon theory goes like this. Well, he really didn't die. He just passed out. And then you have to ask, really? Roman soldiers speared him on the side. The blood and the water separated, came out. And so you've stuck him in the tomb and shut the door with a 2-ton rolling stone. And that's not the magazine. And stuck him in there for a day, actually 3 days. There was no handle inside. Somehow, in the middle of the night, third night, he woke up. That's the Swoon theory. And he pushed this rolling stone from inside where there's no handle and came out, jumped on this squad of the Roman soldiers, highly trained, beat him up, and he ran away. Wow. You have that faith, you have more faith than I do. Doesn't work. He's 100% God, that's why he, 100% God, 100% man, that's why he died. And at the same time, no human can raise himself from the dead. Do you know anyone who did that, who pulled that off? Many claim that, like Houdini said, I'll raise, guess what? His remains still in the box. Jesus claimed that he would, and he did. Period. That's not the same period what Obama used, period. That proves to us that he is a very God. John chapter 10, please. Again, keep your finger in the Hebrews. John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take. Who take it again? I, Jesus. It didn't say the governor of Rome. I. No one take it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Let me make the death of Jesus Christ very simple and clear here. Roman soldier or the Jewish religious leader didn't kill Jesus Christ. And you're thinking, you didn't get the fact right. Yeah, they killed him. No, let me say this. God, Jesus, allowed them to carry on their carnal, murderous act. And that's why they could do it. If Jesus said, you ain't touching me, then they couldn't. It's been said that death and the taxes are inevitable. Agreed? But death doesn't get worse each time the Congress meets, right? As a born-again Christian, we no longer have a sting of death because the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the power of death. Though his victory over death, his victory over death, we who have a faith in him too are not bound by the fear of death. We sang that song, and I was thinking, yeah, that's the right verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, the power of death holds its control in the fear of death. Let me say one more time. The power of death holds its control in the fear of death in the heart of mankind. No human without the Christ in one's heart can honestly say he or she is not afraid of death or dying. Some people may say, I am not afraid of death. I've met people. But they have to say, I do afraid of how I die. I am same. I am not afraid of death, but I prefer not to die in long drawn out death, like a burned. I prefer Mack truck. And I look at it, boom, I'm done. Hi, Jesus. I prefer that way. But the power of death was in the hand of the devil ever since our ancestor Adam and Eve literally handed Garden of Eden, but because of their sin of pride and disobedience. But the Lord came to rescue for this his disobedient creatures. When the author of this book said, through the death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, in verse 14, he didn't mean that the devil no longer has the power. Oh yes, he has a power. He is very much alive. He's doing all the bad things, unfortunately. The Greek word for the destroy is in that verse, katargeo, and which means to render idle, unemployed, inactive, and inoperative. In other words, Satan is not destroyed yet, but he is disarmed from holding the power of death over the born-again Christian due to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. If you are born-again Christian, the moment you die, you will be in heaven. Really? Do you really think that this place is better than heaven? So you think that you have to stay here? No. I will go anytime. The devil is still using the fear of death over them instead of the power of death. As I said, there is a difference. The power of death is broken by the power of Jesus Christ. But the fear of death is still there. For the unbelievers, they are open game of the devil. They are under the power of the devil and under the power of death. Are you with me so far? This is a heavy-duty thing. I want you to understand. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, please. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make a propitiation for the sins of the people. And in all that he himself has suffered and being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Unlike the being pure spirit of the angels, Jesus knew what it is to be like helpless baby who had to be nurtured and growing child who was told what to do around the house. And he was a adolescent person or child, kid, I guess. Maturing adolescent who was preparing himself to start the earthly ministry as well as following the orders of his earthly parents. He knew the experience of weariness. He knew the feeling of hunger, thirst, and being tired. He knew what it's to be like to despise, rejected, and jeered at, and to be lied and falsely accused, and to be executed. He understood our feelings and loneliness. Don't tell me God does not understand what you go through. Been there, done that. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets that God became a man and God became even a baby. When you stop and think about it, no other way could have accomplished his goal. Actually, it's a logical thing. He could have appeared as a fully grown man with charisma and with a perfect teeth and smile. And here I am. I came to save you. And we all going to say, yeah, sure. Because we don't relate with him. He was little baby. His neighbors saw little baby and grown up and running around with their kid in the alley. They could associate with him. And he couldn't approach if he came as a fully grown man and he would not have seemed like a human. Jesus had to be truly a man and to live and suffer and tempted as a man among the peoples on the earth. This way we could know that he understands our trials and temptations we face. Next time, when you're tired, when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, when you're rejected, the same feeling you go through, Jesus went through. When somebody betrayed you and hurt your heart, Jesus went through. No one else can say in the accuracy like Jesus can. Our God can. Before we rush to the application at the end of the sermon, we must understand temptation Jesus faced on the earth. Jesus also left the example for us to follow. Now go to the Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is right after the baptism by John the Baptizer, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days. In the book of Matthew, it said 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. Not demons, by the devil himself he was tempted. For in those days he ate nothing. Afterward, they had ended, he was hungry. Stop there. It's important to note that Jesus did not meet Satan with his supernatural power. He could say, Satan, you're done. Be gone. And he would be gone. Or he could say, I'm done with you. I don't want to put up with this. I'm gone. Or he could be gone. Or he could call down the angelic power, angelic legions, and to destroy the demonic forces. But he simply stayed there 40 days and 40 nights being tempted constantly. He met devil with a written word. He countered every temptation with Scripture. Whenever devil threw the temptation at him, he said, "For it is written, for it is written, for it is written." Do you know why he used the Word of God instead of his divine power? So that we can do the same thing. So when you are tempted, you too can use the power of the Word of God that's stored in your heart and that to deflect the blows of the devil. When you memorize the Scriptures, or when you have gotten ingrained in your memory bank, it's there for you to use. That's why we memorize the Bible verses. And that's how God speaks to you. In the last 27 years of walk with Christ, I met several Christian brothers who were struggling with difficulties. They are under the addiction of alcohol, drugs, and pornography. They all are great people, great brothers to hang around. But they have this, all of them had the weaknesses. They revealed to Satan, and they were completely under the control of the Satan each time they are facing the temptation. Some became victorious, who were into the pornography, who were into this sexual addiction. They became victorious. And I call them, and time to time I call them, and I encourage them to stay at it. But some people choose not to. Did you hear the word I used? Choose not to. And they said, "Well, you don't understand because you don't have any addiction." Oh, yeah, I don't have an addiction. I have a 5-hour energy drink addiction. Listen, you make your own choice. Correct? You can get up. You can walk away. Or you can change the situation. But they choose not to. They said, "Well, this addiction is so strong, I couldn't do anything." Really? Get a grip. There, I'll give you an Italian word, bologna. You know, I even gave them, this is what I give, what I told them. When you have that addiction coming to you, the temptation, overwhelming temptation come to you, I give them formula. Call out the name of Jesus. There is a power in the name of Jesus. So first, when you have the temptation, "Jesus, help me." And then, there's a second step. You stand up, or whatever the situation is, walk away from and change the surrounding. That's a resistance. Go to the book of James, please. James chapter 4, please. Here's a 1-2 punch, and the Satan have to do this. Verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7 in James. "Therefore, submit to" who? God. Call out the name of Jesus Christ. Submit to God. Number 2, what does it say? Resist the devil. Get up, walk away from the surrounding. And people say, "Well, let's see one example. This brother has a serious problem with the alcohol." I asked him, "Did you call out the name of God?" He said, "Yes." "What did you do?" "I went into, you know, that store, bought 12 packs." "Really? That's the resistance? How about driving continuously?" And then what does he say? "Devil will flee from you." On top of all, I gave them my cell phone number. I asked them, "Call me 24/7. My phone is on 24/7. Day or night, I will answer your phone call and I will pray with you." Do you know, not once he called me, not once any other brothers called me. And they said, "Oh, I'm really struggling." Because you choose to. I don't know where you are, You might have a hidden addiction. You might have one of those things that your spouse does not know, or your brothers and sisters do not know. You know, and God knows. Take heed of what I just told you. Call out the name of God. Change your surrounding. In other words, submit to God. Resist the devil. Then what? Devil flee. It's that simple. How many times did Jesus go into the temple during his earthly life? And each year he is looking at all the sacrifice done by priest and burning on the altar. And he is thinking, my turn will come. My body will be sacrificed for these people's lives. And the one who is jeering at him, the one who is mocking at him, the one who will crucify him, he looked around, he knew who they were, but still he went on. Until Jesus offered up to God the Father on the cross as our atoning sacrifice, all the sacrifice at the tabernacle and the temple will only cover their sin until next sacrifices. Because they were merely animals' lives and blood, not the sinners' own lives and blood. But with Jesus' propitiation, no longer sacrifices need to be made, because this is the man without sin. Perfect man. No wonder Jesus' last word said, it is finished. Three applications. Number one, we don't need to have a fear of death or dying because our Savior has overcome it. Number two, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to call him Lord in front of others? I hope not. And don't be afraid to pray before meal in the restaurant. You go. Third application. There is not a temptation that Jesus did not face as a human. As believers, we are able to overcome temptation with his power, the word of God. Amen?